إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا إنه من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أما بعد. We give thanks to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May the blessing and peace be upon the noble Prophet Muhammad, his household and companions all together. Today is the 29th of Sha'ban, and if the moon is sighted, is going to be the fourth day of Ramadan. Or if it is not sighted, this is going to be the 30th night of Sha'ban. And this is in line with the teachings of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who said, as reported by Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma, likewise Abu Urayra radiyallahu anhu, and some other companions, in the report of Abdullah bin Umar radiyallahu anhuma, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ash-shahru tis'u wa 'ishrun, the month is 29 days. Fala tasumu hatta tarawhu, so don't fast until you sight the moon. وَلَا تُفْطِرُوا حَتَّى تَرَوْهُ, and do not break your fast. That is, don't bring the fasting to an end, حَتَّى تَرَوْهُ, until you sight it. فَإِنْ غُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَوْ فَإِنْ غُمِّيَ عَلَيْكُمْ, if you are obscured from seeing it, or it is obscured from you, فَأَكْمِلُوا الْعَدَدَ ثَلَاثِينَ, complete the number 30. Complete the number 30. فَأَكْمِلُوا الْعَدَدَ ثَلَاثِينَ, complete the number 30. So this is very clear. That doesn't need or call for any altercation or any name calling. Sumu li ru'yati wa aftiru li ru'yati fa in ghumma alaykum fa akmilu al-iddata thalathi. Fast when you sight it, and bring your fasting to an end when you sight it. And if it is obscured from you, complete the counting to be 30. So in the hadith of Abu Uraira, Abdullah bin Umar, it is very, very simple. And the pious predecessors, they did not attack each other over this. So what is expected of us is to follow their footsteps, to follow their path, not for us to be attacking each other, some using the astronomical calculation, some relying on the naked sighting. What the Sharia brought is the naked sighting. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam never brought astronomical calculation as far as the moon is concerned. He never taught us this. So what he taught us is the naked sighting. And he will instruct the companions to search for the moon. Al-Imam Malik alayhi rahmatullah reported in his Muwatta. Likewise, Abu Dawood recorded in his book, Sunan Abi Dawood, that Abdullah ibn Umar رضي الله عنهما سيترى الناس الإلالة. The people were looking for the moon. فأخبرت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أني رأيت. So I informed the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم that I saw the moon فصام. Based on my information, the Messenger of Allah fasted. وَأَمَرَ النَّاسَ بِسِيَامِ. And he commanded the people to fast. Just based on my own information, based on the fact that I informed him that I sighted the moon. He trusted me. He fasted and ordered the people to fast. So the issue is very, very simple. So when people bring in astronomical calculation, or they invite in the astronomers to tell us it is not possible to sight the moon anywhere around the world today, this, the Sharia has not commanded us to follow. Because the astronomical way is to tell us when the new moon is going to be born. That is when there is going to be conjunction. This is what the astronomers can tell us. Just as they can tell us when the eclipse of the sun, the eclipse of the moon is going to happen. They can easily tell us when the new moon is going to be given birth to. This is easy from the calculation. It is easy to tell this. But it is not easy to tell people when the new moon will be sighted, because there are a lot of factors that are responsible for this. Take for instance, the astronomers this year, they've differed upon this issue. They themselves have differed. We have astronomers in Saudi Arabia, in some other places, claiming it is possible for the moon to be sighted today. And it was sighted according to their announcement. Astronomers in Emirates, in the United Arab Emirates, the Markaz Al-Falak Al-Duali or Dawli, they said it is not possible to sight it. The astronomers too. Because they argued the new moon that was born today will set before sunset. That is, it will precede the sun in setting. It will set before the sun. So how can somebody now tell us that it sights the moon after it has what? After it has set. Then they agree that in some places in the Arab world, maybe the moon will disappear 2 minutes or 1.5 minutes or 6 minutes after sunset. But it is not enough for the naked eye to see the moon. After sunset, the sun sets, then the moon will still be available, but it will not be visible to the naked eye. Because to them, 2 minutes, 6 minutes is not enough for you to see the new moon. So a lot of them argue that at least you must have up to 29 minutes after sunset before you can see what the new moon, that is when it is given birth to. So the moon, the new moon, the crescent must stay up to 29 minutes, which means they said it must be at least 7 degrees away from the sun before it can be seen by the naked eye. So all these are what their theories that they said. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not subjected us to things like this. When he addressed the Muslims, he addressed the lay people. He said, "Inna ummatun ummiyatun la naktub wa la nasub." He said, "We are people who are unlettered. That is, most of us are unlettered. La naktub wa la nasub. Ash-shahru akada wa akada wa akada." So meaning he did not base the commencement of Ramadan and the completion of Ramadan on astronomical calculation. So, and that's why the companions, radiallahu anhu, never said anything about it is not possible for people to cite it because they never said that. So what he says, sumu li ruyati, fast when you see it. Waftiru li ruyati, break when you cite it. فَنْهُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ أَوْ غُمِّيَ عَلَيْكُمْ. If it is obscure from you, فَأَكْمِلُ الْعَدَدَ ثَلَاثِينَ. If the Sha'ban that you are counting, take it 30. There is no 31 in the Hijri or in the Islamic month. Is it that 29 or 30? So you have counted 29 days, then you are expecting the new moon. You're unable to cite it as a result of the obscurity. So what you do is to make it 30. And that's all. فَأَكْمِلِ الْعَدَدَ ثَلَاثِنَا. And if it's Ramadan that you are counting, it is 29 already, you are expecting to cite the new moon of Shawwal, you are unable to cite it. Simple. Complete your Ramadan 30. This is what our pious predecessors, this is what they did. So but this issue of it is not possible because it will be what? Maybe 2 degrees or 3 degrees away from the sun around that time. So it's not possible for it to be sighted. The moon would have watched, the moon would have set before the sunset. So any person who claims that he sees it after sunset, the person is a liar. Some scholars have even said that if the astronomers say that it is not possible for us to sight the moon on so and so day, that we rely on them. But if they say it is possible for us to sight it, if any person comes and say I sight the moon, then is what is sighting, the shahada can be taken. But if they say it is not possible, then we should not take a shahada. Some scholars say this. We said indirectly what you are saying is what? You are rubbishing what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has acknowledged, which is what? The naked observation. Sumu li ru'yati wa afiru li ru'yati. Fast when you cite it and break when you cite it. Fa'inghumma alaykum. If you cannot see it, then fa'akwilu al-adad al-thalathin. Complete the number 30. So very simple. So this year exposed the astronomers a lot. They disagreed among themselves. Some are saying tomorrow is the fourth day of Ramadan. Huh? Some are saying tomorrow is the fourth day of Ramadan. Why some are saying it is next tomorrow, which is Thursday, that it is what? The fourth day of Ramadan. So, which one are we going to take? It is the astronomers that are talking now. So some believe tomorrow is the fourth day of Ramadan. But Alhamdulillah, الذي عفانا من ابتلاء به. We are less concerned about that. Ours is to fast when the moon is sighted. So in some countries, today, they announce the sighting of the new moon. Saudi Arabia, Emirates, Kuwait, Palestine, and many others like that. While some said, according to the astronomical calculation, that it's not possible to sight the moon today, so it is next tomorrow that they will start their fasting. And this is adopted by Turkey, by Oman, Egypt, and some other countries like that. But what is important is that we should rely on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us. Any person who rely on astronomical calculation is wrong. If people say they can't sight it tonight, that's why they are not commencing their fasting tomorrow. That one is acceptable. It's still what's acceptable. But if they are not, they say they are not going to fast tomorrow because it is not possible scientifically to sight it tonight, we say you are wrong, because the Sharia has never asked us to follow the astronomical calculation in this regard. The Sharia has never asked us to follow the astronomical calculation in this regard. But if you are following the naked observation and you are unable to sight it, then you can apply فَإِنْهُمَّ عَلَيْكُمْ فَأَكْمِلُوا الْعَدَدَ ثَلَاثِينَ. Couple with the fact that the scholars over centuries, right from the time of the companions, they have had what, two positions, even with respect to naked sighting. We have those who use اتحاد المطالع, اتحاد المطالع, meaning anywhere the moon is sighted around the globe, if the information reaches us, then we have to watch, we have to commence fasting. And the evidence is what? Sumu liruyati, fast if you see it. Waftiru liruyati, and break if you see it. Fainhumma alaykum fa akmilul adada thalathin. And if there is obscurity, complete the number 30. So they said, once the information gets to you, so you have to follow, because not everybody will see it. If you look at what Ibn Umar said, Tara al-Nas al-Ilala, the people were looking for the moon. فَأَخْبَرْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ أَنِّي رَأَيْتُ. I informed the Messenger of Allah that I sighted it. فَصَامَ وَأَمَرَ النَّاسَ بِالصِّيَامِ. So he fasted and he commanded the people to fast. So with this, if any person passes the information to us that the moon has been sighted, we have to follow. Even if you are the farthest place on the earth, as long as the information reaches us, this is called the universal sighting. Why we have the local sighting, which is the address Sumuli Ruyati, is directed to the people of a geographical location. So not to everybody around the world. It's directed to people at a geographical location. It's directed to them locally. So if they sight, they commence. If they do not sight, they complete 30. So, and this, a lot of scholars are upon this. A lot of scholars are upon this. So, and that's why we say, for instance, the moon has been, it has been sighted in Saudi Arabia, and it has been announced that tomorrow is the first day of Ramadan. While we are still awaiting the announcement in our own country, If it is announced that the moon is sighted here, then we commence our fasting tomorrow too. If it is said that it is not sighted, that means to complete it 30. So we have these two views, major views, that it's either you use a local sighting or what, or you use the international sighting. But most scholars today, they are upon the local sighting, particularly when most rulers are now behind this. What do I mean? Take for instance, Lagos is close to Benin Republic. If it is sighted in Benin Republic, the part of Lagos that is close to Benin Republic, like Badagry for instance, they will not rely on the announcement of Benin Republic. Despite the fact that what, they are very close, they will still be awaiting the announcement of what? Of the Sultanate. Despite the fact that the Sultanate is in Sokoto, far away from the people of what? Badagry. So now this has what a kind of political undertone, so to say. So, but despite this, this is what most scholars are upon today, that you follow the announcement of your country, instead of you dividing or breaking into different groups. I will say I'm following Saudi Arabia. This will say, no, I'm following Turkey. In the same country, in the same area, maybe on the same street, we follow different countries. No, let us come together under our own ruler. This unites us more than what breaking into different groups inside the same country, in the same city, maybe on the same street. So, and this is what most scholars are upon, that we should try as much as possible to come together. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith that was reported by Imam al-Tirmidhi alayhi rahmatullah in his Sunan said, "As-sawm yawma tasumun wal-fitru yawma tuftirun wal-adha yawma tudahun." The fasting is the day you all fast. And breaking of the fast is the day you all break. And the Adha is the day you all celebrate it. And that is why one of the Tabi'un in person of Masruq, he said that he visited our mother Aisha radiallahu anha. Then Aisha said, "Usku masruqan tawiqa wa akfiru halwa." He said, "Give masruq some pap to drink and had a lot of sweetness." Then masruq said that, "I said, lam yamna'ani an asum al-yawm illa anni khiftu an yakuna yawm al-nahar." He said that nothing prevented me from fasting today except that I was afraid that today would be the day of Eid, the day of slaughtering. The day he went to Aisha radiallahu anha was the day of Arafah, according to the authority. That day, the authority, they saw that day as the day of Arafah. So Masruq went to Aisha to visit her. And Aisha radiallahu anha ordered slaves, so to say, to present Masruq with pap or yogurt, something like that. The Masruq said that, "Lam yamna'ani an asum al-yawm illa anni khiftu an yakuna yawm al-nahar." I would have fasted today, but I was afraid that today could be the 10th of Dhul-Hijjah, the day of slaughtering. Then Aisha radiallahu anha responded by saying, Al-Fitru yawma yufiru al-Nas wal-Adha yawma yudhahi al-Nas. The day of Fitru is the day everybody celebrates Eid al-Fitr. And the day of Adha, the Eid of slaughtering, is the day everybody celebrates it. You can't say, well, today is Yawm al-Nahr. That is, your own counting is not regarded. It is the counting of the town, the counting of the ruler that is recognized by the authority. So this is the counting that will bring us together. This is the counting that if we make use of it, in the same family or in a single family, will not be divided. Maybe the father will be following these people, the mother will be following these people, the children will be following these people. So, and this is the wealthiest opinion. Yes, some scholars have the view that when you sight the moon yourself, you sight the moon, and this is rejected by the authorities. Some scholars, or majority of the scholars of the Madhahib, they have the opinion that you should fast because you have sighted it. And the Prophet Allah said, وَصُومُ لِرُوِيَاتِ وَصِرُوا لِرُوِيَاتِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُومُ. So, and you have cited it. You tell the authority, they rejected your citing. What should you do with your citing? If we go by this that you have said, أَصَوْمُ يَوْمَ تَصُومُونَ, we will say, don't fast. Don't make use of your citing. Since it is rejected. But the Madhahib, they said he should fast because he has cited it. Only that he should not announce it to the people. Because when he announces it to the people, he's playing the role of the authorities. And this watch will divide the people. But since he has seen it, he should fast, but shouldn't announce it. But with respect to the Fitru, if it fights it, that is the Christian of Shawwal, with which one celebrates Eid al-Fitr, if he fights it, so the majority of them said, no, he should not make use of it. Salimam al-Shafi alayhi rahmatullah said, he should do that either having it in mind that I'm not fasting today. Though he will not eat in front of the people, but he will know that he's not fasting today because he has sighted the moon of Shawwal. But most of the scholars, they said, no, he shouldn't count it. He can only count it with respect to what? With respect to that of Ramadan, the commencement of Ramadan. But wallahu alam, the way there's opinion is that when he cites it and he tells the authorities and they reject it, he should not fast. When he cites it and they reject it, he should not celebrate the festival. He should wait till everybody fast together, everybody celebrate together, based on that hadith. الصوم يوم تصومون والفطر يوم تفطرون والأضحى يوم تضحون. And what Aisha رضي الله عنها said to Masruq, that الفطر يوم يفطر الناس والأضحى يوم يضحي الناس. And this is the wealthiest opinion on this. So if we go by this, we see that this matter is very, very simple. It's very, very simple. It's not something that we attack, abuse one another over. Who was somebody who say, I tie the moon and it's rejected? Yes, his watch is going to fast on his own and he will not announce it based on what some scholars have said. Since he doesn't make that announcement, there won't be any issue in the town. But for you to take the role of the authority, this will lead to what? Confusion in the town. This will lead to a kind of division of the Muslims. And this shouldn't be. This should not be. So if we cannot make use of universal sighting, at least the local sighting should be applied. That in a single country, the people of that country will be united on one sighting. So we celebrate, we commence the fasting together, we celebrate the Eid together. So this is very, very important. But the problem is that year in, year out, we have been battling with this issue of astronomical calculation, naked sighting, astronomical calculation, naked sighting. And our Salaf, they never had this issue of astronomical calculation. When Taymiyyah alayhi rahmatullah quoted Ijma, consensus of scholars, on the impermissibility of using the astronomical calculation. But today, some people believe it is more correct than what the naked sighting, despite the fact that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam instructed us to use the naked sighting. So we abandon what he has asked us to use, and we chase the astronomical calculation, all in the name that what science is more correct. And we know that even in science, there are things they will tell us that later change. There are things that they will call scientific facts. Later, they will become what? They will become scientific, what's it called? Hypothesis. No more facts. They will become what? Hypothesis or observation. So a lot of things have changed. Science has changed a lot of things. So why are we now going to leave what the Sharia has commanded us to rely on, and we'll go for what the Sharia has not asked us to rely on? Take for instance, the Sharia talking about somebody who commits zina. The Sharia asks us to bring four witnesses that have seen them perpetrating that act. If somebody accuses another person of zina, they say, what? Bring your witnesses, four witnesses. If the person now comes up with CCTV, whatever, this is rejected. He is rejected. Because that is not what we are asked to watch, to make use of. So now somebody will say, but CCTV is what? Is more correct. We say, no, the Sharia has not asked us to use it. Then, this video of a thing, it can also be doctored. You are in the era of AI now, that you present somebody saying something, and you think it is that person. Yesterday, I watched a clip that somebody played, and the person was presenting AI of Imam Subais, saying that the crown prince has the right to allow the foreigners to take in Corsicans in their quarters. AI. Somebody did not know that this thing is AI. He brought it and started attacking Imam Sudeir's views on that. Then somebody called his attention that, can't you look at that thing he said is AI generated? Look at it very well. Then he looked at it, then he said, oh, he never knew that. But when he saw the video clip, he just spread it like that. And when you watch it, you think it is what Sudeir that is talking. This is the era in which we are today. Are you going to rely on such a thing? So if you rely on the video clips to tell us that what it is more authentic now, they can come with what with AI of a thing. So when the Sharia says you should rely on the witnesses coming to testify, even if there is an error there, the muqaddima, that is, the premises is what is allowed in the Sharia. Even if you result in error, you are free before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because you have followed the right way. If you now get it wrong after following the right way, there is mistake along the line, you are free. But when you rely on what the Sharia has not asked you to do, even if you get to the right answer, you are wrong, because you have followed the path that you are not asked to follow. Somebody who uses the CCTV of a thing to determine that somebody has committed zina, then he said the person should be given 100 lashes, or the person should be stoned to death if the person is married. We say, no, we can't make use of it. Why? Because this is not what we are asked to make use of. Even if truly that person has committed zina, we cannot use the CCTV to watch, to carry out the punishment recommended by the Sharia on that person. But if people come and testify that so and so person has committed zina, and they are four in number, we use that to hold the person responsible. Even if they are lying, even if they are what? They have lied. If the judge takes their what? Their testimony to what? To carry out punishment on that person, the judge is free. It is those people that will face the consequence of what they've done before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the premises is what? Is correct. So if the premises is correct, and there is a mistake in the results, the person involved is what is free before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the statement that you come to me bringing matters of disputation to me. وَلَعَلَّ بَعْضَكُمْ أَنْ يَكُونَ أَلْحَنَ بِحُجَّتِهِ مِنْ بَعْجِ. One of you may be better in terms of what is argument. فَأَقْضِ لَهُ عَلَى نَحْوِ مَا أَطْمَعَ مِنْهُ. Then I now pass judgment based on what I've heard from him. I pass judgment in his favor. فَمَا قَضَيْتُ لَهُ بِحَكِّ أَخِي فَإِنَّمَا قَطَعْتُ لَهُ كِتَعْتَ مِنَ النَّارِ أو كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِي صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. Whoever I pass judgment in his favor, and I give him the right of his brother, I have given him what? Kita' min an-nar, just a brand of fire. Meaning he shouldn't take it if he knows that what? He is not truthful in the presentation, in his argument. But the muqaddima, the premise is what? Is right. Because he follows what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has asked him to follow. That is, you listen to their evidences, to their arguments. Then you give judgment to the one that has what? With their argument. But at times, it is not the one with the weightier argument that is right. Only that the other person is not good at what? Presentation. But is the judge faulty? The judge is not faulty. He judges based on what he hears, and he follows the right premises. The premise, he follows the right premise. Unlike somebody who knows that, no, this person is what? Is one who is right and who is wrong. He can't say he's going to judge based on his knowledge that this is one that is right, this is one that is. A judge doesn't judge that way. That because I know this is the right person, this is one that is right, and this is the person that is wrong. You are asked to judge between both of them. No, you can't judge, okay, it is this one that owns it. It has to be based on what? Their presentation. Even if you know that, okay, this person with better argument is not the owner of this thing. The only thing you can do in a situation like that, if you are the judge, you may say, okay, I'm not going to judge this matter. I want to act as a witness. I want to act what? As a witness. I'm not the one judging this matter. I want to be a witness in favor of the person that you believe is right on this matter. Because you saw this thing when it happened. But you know that the person who is one of the disputants, is not what is not good at presentation. So it's okay, want to be his witness. Some of you think you are going to judge based on what? Your knowledge. You can't judge based on what? Your knowledge of the events. No. You are going to judge based on what? Their presentation. So if you know you want to want the right person to what to get the thing, then go and act as his witness. So the point here is that those who are following the naked observation, even if somebody is said to have sighted the moon, and they tell us it is another thing that he has sighted, not the moon that he has sighted, as they will claim at times that you see some objects that you see, that some of them will say they see, is not what? It's not the moon. So maybe they see Jupiter, or they see Mercury, or they see this. So we say as long as what? It is accepted from them, and it is announced to us, we follow. We are not faulty. We are not at fault before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because what is what has been said is what? Sumuli riyati wa kiruli riyati. So the point is that we don't follow the astronomical calculation. So let us wait for the announcement. Perhaps any moment from now, maybe they will announce if it is sighted or not. So this is just to call our attention to this, to say Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala benefit us with these that you have heard, and may subhanahu wa ta'ala make it possible for us to witness the month of Ramadan and to complete it, and make us witness many of it. Subhanaka la umma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
Can we outside him and say all these stories of Jesus? Because the people know what? Is it everything? Everything, all backwards and forwards?
Now the question is, can we say every bad thought that comes to our mind is from Shaitan? Yes. Bad thoughts that comes to our mind is not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is from Shaitan. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala la ya'muru bil fahsha. Allah does not order us to do evil. Something is whispering to you, do this, commit this evil. Kill, steal, take intoxicants, fornicate. So it is not from Allah, it is from Shaitan. So and Shaitan does waswasa in the heart of a human being. So we say evil thoughts is from Shaitan, not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu a'lam. Now I'm entering the masjid, do you do taslim? Yes, it's good that you do taslim, particularly when there are people inside the masjid. Where there are people inside the masjid. But the dhikr that you do, Bismillah, Allahumma fahli, abawaba rahmatik. So this is what is expected. Then if you enter, you see people inside the masjid, you make taslim. So, but for us to make taslim when we do not see people inside, so if we do that to our houses, we can also do that to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the angels will be there, just like the angels can also be in our houses. So it is good that we do taslim when we enter the masjid, just as we do taslim when we enter our houses, even when we do not see people inside. Wallahu a'lam. Our female cousins, how do we relate with them? Now, our cousins, these are the children of our aunts or our uncles. Now our cousins, they are not maharim to us. If we are males and they are females, or vice versa, we fall in the category of those who can marry each other. You can marry, you as a man, can marry the daughter of your aunt, the daughter of your uncle, either your paternal aunt or your maternal aunt, paternal uncle or maternal uncle. Their daughters are not your maharim. They fall in the category of those that you can marry. So we relate with them as Zawul Arham, that is people of Arham. They are our relatives, but they are not our maharim. So you can give them maybe call at most, or you visit them when their parents are there, or when their maharim are there. But for you to be in seclusion with them, or for you to visit them the way we do, and with us we relate freely, so this is not okay, because they fall in the category of those that we can marry and those who can marry us. Unlike those that we cannot marry and they cannot marry us. Take for instance your siblings, so you cannot marry them, they can't marry you. So these are the people that you call your maharim, your aunt. She's your mahram. She's your mahram. The uncle of a lady, he is a mahram. So they can visit one another because he cannot marry them forever. But their children are not your maharim or your mahram. So when you visit your uncle, you take that opportunity to make a claim to his daughter. Then if you are a female, to make the claim to the son. But for you to say you want to be free with the daughter, with the son, no, they fall in the category of those that you can marry. So we have to understand this. So if you are going to call them Noam, but for us to be free with them, to the extent that you see people hugging one another, so this is haram. You cannot hug your cousins that is an opposite sex, because it's like you are hugging an ajnabiyya. Or you can shake hands with them, it's like you are shaking hands with an ajnabiyya, a foreign person. So there is no difference between them. There is no difference between them. Allahu a'lam. What time is the best time to stop sahur? Now, Salatul Fajri, according to what you have been using, so comes in around maybe 5:58 or thereabouts. So that is the time that you are expected to stop sahur. If you are eating anything, you stop by that time. So even when they are not calling the adhan at the right time, and you have known the time that you're supposed to come in, you stop your sahur at that time. So if you stop before that time, no harm. But when it is haram for you to continue eating, it is when the time for fajr comes in, it is haram for you to stop eating, to continue eating. It is wajib, compulsory on you to stop eating. Unless if you're already eating and the time now comes, should you stop, you can continue to eat until you're okay. So based on what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that when one of you hears the adhan and he has the plate of food in front of him, he said he shouldn't stop until he satisfies himself. But if the person has not started eating when the adhan is made or when the time comes in, he shouldn't eat. If he eats, he doesn't have fast for that day. Wallahu a'lam. Subhanaka lahumma bihamdik ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.